It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. The Wisconsin State Supreme Court is set to decide two cases that challenge the state's 1849 abortion ban. One case hinges on whether the state constitution recognizes a right to abortion.
In 2022, the U.S. Supreme Court, in its Dobbs decision, overturned the federal right to abortion, which led to Wisconsin doctors needing to interpret and follow the 1849 law.
Outside the courtroom, in hospitals and clinics, Wisconsin obstetrician-gynecologists have faced tough medical decisions over when abortion is okay and when it's not.
A new study from UW-Madison captures some of these physician stories, how they've dealt with the legal pressures and the impact on their patients and practices. Joining us now are two OBGYNs. Dr. Kristen Lyerly moved her practice to Minnesota from Wisconsin after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Dr. Lyerly, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate.
And Dr. Abigail Cutler is here, an assistant professor in the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology at UW School of Medicine and Public Health, and lead author of this study investigating how the Dobbs decision affected OBGYNs in the state. Dr. Cutler, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
Your research team, Dr. Cutler, spoke with 21 OBGYNs from all over Wisconsin after the fall of Roe. What was it like to interview fellow physicians and obstetrics about a sensitive political and legal issue that impacts how doctors do their jobs?
It was both eye-opening and really validating as an obstetrician gynecologist here in the state who has practiced in Wisconsin and was here for the fall of Roe.
How was it eye-opening? What did you hear?
We found in our interviews that really, the threat of criminalization posed by this old 1849 law, which was interpreted to ban all abortions at any gestational age for any reason, except in rare circumstances where a doctor deemed an abortion necessary to, quote, save the life of the mother. We found that this threat was detrimental to our ability to provide timely and safe obstetrical care. So, you know, the OBGYNs who we interviewed described how they really struggled to know how to apply this vague and uninterpretable law into their clinical practice without breaking the law. And that led to a lot of uncertainty and confusion. And when physicians turned to their hospitals and their health systems for help, we found that the type and the extent of guidance and support physicians received really varied. We found that hospitals across Wisconsin interpreted this same law differently and took different positions, some of which were pretty conservative on when it was legally acceptable for a doctor to terminate a pregnancy for a patient experiencing a pregnancy complication. Hmm. And physicians offered story after story about how this environment led to what we say in the paper, which is substandard, delayed, and fragmented patient care. So it was both kind of confirming of what I feel like many of our experiences were on the ground, and also really alarming to see how it impacted patients depending on where they lived in the state.
Mm. Dr. Lyerly, the state abortion ban was in place from June 2022 to September 2023, stopping almost all abortions statewide. What did you do as a physician during this time?
Well, when the Dobbs decision first happened, we consolidated, and I'm so grateful to Dr. Cutler and her team for taking these stories and actually putting them out there, because this is the stuff that we were all talking about as we were scrambling to figure out, what was an abortion? What kind of care could we provide for our patients? Could we treat this miscarriage? What if someone's water broke at 16 weeks? Could we offer her the standard of care? So by pulling these stories together, that helps others understand that this is not something that should be caught in this crisis related to the politicization of abortion. Rather, this is fundamental health care that our patients are not getting and that we have not been able to provide. And the chilling effect, you know, as Abby said, different hospital systems were interpreting this in very different ways. And we're still seeing that, even though abortion care is considered legal now based on the judgment in Dane County Circuit Court, and my name is on that judgment, it's still with the Supreme Court. And there are many hospital systems outside of Madison and Milwaukee that are reluctant to provide abortion-related care because it's not a definitive judgment yet.
In Minnesota, abortion is legal. How different does it feel for you to practice in Minnesota versus where you were in Wisconsin, you know, where our 1849 ban is being challenged?
When anti-abortion activists saw my name on the judgment that brought abortion back to Wisconsin, they went after my medical license. And I recognized that I was a target, so I had to move my practice. When I got to Minnesota, there was one case in particular that I remember where someone quite literally would have died if I hadn't been able to completely respond to her needs. And I took just a minute to reflect on how differently I would have thought and approached this case if I was in Wisconsin.
How willing were obstetrical physicians to participate in the study, Dr. Cutler? Because this is a very sensitive area where, you know, the judicial and medicine are intersecting.
Yeah, I have to say we did not have trouble recruiting for this study. We approached very intentionally physicians across the state who had different scopes of practice from urban and rural settings. We wanted a diverse sample so that it could be kind of as representative as possible, though with qualitative research, you know, we're not necessarily looking for perfect representation, right? Mm. But we want to be elevating stories of, in our case, you know, a diverse collection of folks who, you know, may also be abortion providers in their practice, but primarily were OBGYNs who at some point in their practice faced patients experiencing pregnancy complications in the inpatient setting and in the outpatient setting. And so we wanted to know how this threat of this criminal abortion ban was affecting OBGYNs writ large. And I think we discovered in our interviews that for a lot of participants, it almost felt cathartic for them to be able to kind of process out loud with us what the experience had been. And we stopped, you know, recruiting at just 21 participants because we had reached, you know, in the qualitative research field, we talk about thematic saturation. When you get to a point where you're hearing kind of the same themes come up over and over and over again in your stories. And we reached that, you know, fairly quickly, which is when we stopped enrollment and started, you know, analyzing our data.
Would you say, as you started analyzing the data, was this study more to document what these physicians went through? What was the end goal?
I think primarily we wanted to bear witness and document what was happening to clinical care. We asked our participants lots of different questions about, you know, their professional backgrounds and types of clinical practice, how their management of common pregnancy complications changed post-OBS, and not just, you know, the ones that we hear a lot about in the media, but also ectopic pregnancies, threatened miscarriage, unwanted pregnancies, pregnancies affected by fetal anomalies, some lethal. We asked a lot of questions about their hospital's practices, policies, and support. And we asked also about how they perceived the impact of the 1849 law to be on their professional and personal lives, and also, finally, how they perceived the post-OBS legal landscape in Wisconsin to be potentially a threat to the OBGYN workforce.
When you talk about how supportive their hospital system is to them, what did you find there, and what do you mean by support?
Well, like I mentioned before, you know, the law was described by our participants as vague and uninterpretable. And so physicians who are not, you know, for the most part, lawyers, really needed guidance from hospital administrators, legal teams about how to apply this, you know, very old, archaic statute to their clinical practice. What were they to do when they had an individual patient in front of them in need potentially of abortion care? You know, was this patient at death's door enough to warrant safe intervention? And by safe, I mean like legally protected. And so hospitals and health systems and institutions were really in a position of either being able to support and guide their physicians or not. And we saw really wide variation in what that support and guidance looked like. interestingly, often around the same pregnancy complication. So for instance, we heard a lot from participants about how they struggled to know how to manage previable PPROM when that amniotic sac ruptures in the second trimester, you know, way too early before neonatal survival is possible. Mm-hmm. And staying pregnant in those situations can be really risky because of the risk, which is unpredictable, but can happen very quickly, of developing a severe life-threatening infection. And when we asked participants about how they managed this pregnancy complication post-Dobbs, some made reference to guidance they had received from their institutions that allowed them to offer standard of care, which includes abortion care, even before the patient became clinically unstable. While other participants said their institutions had prohibited them from providing pregnancy termination unless the patient really appeared to be at death's door, showing signs of a really serious infection or other things like hemorrhage. And so that was evidence of what, you know, we had seen on the ground, too, that pregnant Wisconsinites facing the same unfortunate pregnancy complication were receiving really different care with potentially completely different outcomes, all because they found themselves at different hospitals in our state. Hmm. Like, a patient with one pregnancy complication might have received timely standard of care at one hospital while, you know, 50 miles away. Another patient facing the same complication would have been maybe given no options at all or transferred to a different hospital. You know, but less fortunate patients were simply observed until they got sick enough to warrant intervention or, you know, were simply discharged home and told to come back if their symptoms or health status worsened. So that was alarming.
A variety of scenarios based on where you were. I wonder what's coming up for you, Dr. Lyerly, as you hear this and the differences between hospital systems and the support systems from, you know, the support from those hospitals, and acknowledging now that you are an independent physician.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also important to mention that we're not just talking about OBGYNs here. The reason we need hospital systems to be in support of their physicians is because many of these people present to the emergency department. So emergency doctors need to know how to manage these complications. Family medicine doctors need to know. Pediatricians need to know. So this is it affects the entire care team. For me, as an individual, I am just waiting for the Supreme Court to come back with their final ruling on the 1849 criminal abortion ban. And then I look forward to relocating my practice back in Wisconsin and continuing to fight for clarity in the law so that my colleagues and my patients can deliver and receive the care that they need and deserve, the care that we were trained to provide. We're not trained as politicians. We're trained as physicians, and we know what to do for our patients. When politicians interfere, that's when our patients suffer.
We're talking about this newly published study that looked into what Wisconsin OBGYNs experienced after the 2022 Dobbs decision, when the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the constitutional right to an abortion, leaving it up to the states to decide. And we have Dr. Kristen Lyerly there, who is practicing OBGYN in Minnesota, Wisconsin, formerly. Dr. Abigail Cutler is here practicing OBGYN at UW Health, lead author of this study. Dr. Cutler, what legal clarity would you like to see come out that would enable you and your colleagues to have more confidence in performing abortions as part of obstetrical care, especially here in Wisconsin?
I would like it to be clear that abortion is considered to be part of normal health care that a patient who is pregnant might need or want for any number of reasons, and that it really cannot be legislated because every individual patient comes with their own set of needs.
Dr. Lyerly, abortion was once again, as you saw, a top hot button issue in the recent state Supreme Court election. What effect does that have on medicine when abortion is at the center of such a high dollar political fight?
You asked Dr. Cutler about legal clarity, which is so very important. And I think in Wisconsin, we are looking forward to the Supreme Court returning their judgment on the 1849 criminal ban, hopefully saying that it does not apply to abortion. So our fingers are crossed there, but that doesn't solve the problem. What we really need to do is educate the people of Wisconsin so that they understand what this means. I can't tell you how many folks I've talked with who don't understand that a miscarriage in medical terms is a spontaneous abortion. From our perspective, it's very similar. But when someone sees that in their patient record, it's shocking to them and it's shameful. And it takes on a whole other set of meanings and feelings and emotions because of the politicization of our healthcare here in this country. That belongs to us. That belongs to our healthcare providers. That does not belong in the political arena. We need politicians to back off and stop practicing healthcare. Stop telling us what we can and cannot receive. In states where abortion bans have been implemented, we know that women are 3 times more likely to die as a result of their pregnancy because of the abortion ban, because patients can't get care. So if you need more evidence than that to prove that people need access to comprehensive reproductive health care, I'm sure Dr. Cutler and I would be happy to provide that because it is absolutely true. So both help from the judicial system, but absolutely education for the populace so that people recognize how complicated all of this is.
Dr. Cutler, in terms of the research, where does research head now with the UW Collaborative for Reproductive Equity?
I think it will be important to continue to watch really closely how this idea of legal ambiguity continues to shape the health outcomes of our patients and the health and future of our profession. You know, as abortion access has come back to Wisconsin following the Dane County judicial decision, as Dr. Lyerly mentioned earlier, we know that not all health systems or hospitals are acting in accordance with that ruling yet, perhaps because they're awaiting, you know, a final decision from the state Supreme Court. For too many people still, it remains a really scary time to be pregnant, to be capable of pregnancy, or to be someone who provides pregnancy-related healthcare. And even in places where the legal status of abortion is tenuous or in flux, like perhaps here in Wisconsin, it's also important to remember that there was significant damage that we can never undo. You know, we had a full 15 months when abortion was essentially unavailable to our patients, unless they had the means to travel out of state, which many do not. We had a full year and a half where patients couldn't easily access hospital-based abortion care, and during which our trainees were unable to access training and education in this really essential healthcare service. And mind you, you know, we still, even pre-Dobbs, had so many restrictions that limited our ability to provide care and limited patients' ability to access abortion care. And those continue to be in effect. You know, as an OBGYN, I wouldn't wish that landscape on anyone. And I think that this study is evidence of what happens when abortion is legislated.
Dr. Cutler and Dr. Lyerly, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us, Kate.
That was Dr. Abigail Cutler, an assistant professor of obstetrics and gynecology at UW School of Medicine and Public Health. She's also a practicing OBGYN at UW Health. And Dr. Kristen Lyerly, former Wisconsin OBGYN, now based in rural Minnesota after the Dobbs decision. We talked about how Wisconsin OBGYNs were affected by the Supreme Court's overturning the federal right to an abortion in 2022 and a new study in JAMA Network Open that captures the experiences of Wisconsin OBGYNs.